Emerson, not Martin. Who do I say? Greg Newsom. Martin Emerson. My apologies. Thank you, Peter Venkman, in YouTube comments.
I happen to agree with my friend Nick Wright on the Ravens. He calls it Ravens propaganda, and he's right. Every year, the same thing happens with them. They lose into the playoffs. Lamar Jackson has his worst game of the season or thereabouts in January. The day after the game, the football cognoscenti says, man, Lamar Jackson can't win these games. It happens all the time. I don't think he's ever going to win one of these things. And then the offseason happens. That game kind of recedes from people's minds. We get to training camp, and people act like there's not a history of them losing big games, playing badly in big games, and start picking them to win the Super Bowl again. And his other point is something that you and others used to say about the Steelers all the time. Like, yes, they were stuck playing in the Patriots era, in the Tom Brady era, but they weren't blocked by Tom Brady because they only lost in the Ben era. They lost to Brady, what, in 04 and in 16, twice. Now, in 01 they did, but that predates Ben. But that's...
They didn't get there most of the time.
Right.
They didn't get to... So is this how you would differentiate Lamar from Josh Allen?
Yes, Buffalo keeps getting smacking beat their by the Chiefs. Yes. Baltimore loses games to Tennessee at home with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback.
Well, that was a while ago. They've moved on from that one to losing to the Bills.
Right, or the Bengals. So, I'm not going to pick them to miss the playoffs.
I think you converted Nick on this, by the way. I think this power of your rhetoric turned Nick...
But hold on, it's not rhetoric. It's facts.
I never said it wasn't factual.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, I think what happens with Jackson is people continue to not parrot the idea, but people continue to buy into the idea that a guy who causes that many problems for the most part in the regular season and looks that dynamic is eventually going to break through. And that's why they have short-term amnesia with how it actually goes down in the playoffs. And like here, you know what this year's narrative is going to be? And I don't even entirely disagree with it. Mark Andrews dropped a pass that he should catch 100 times out of 100.
He did that a couple times in that Bills game. I was there for that.
Like, Lamar played, I thought, a better game than he got credit for because his tight end dropped the ball, literally. But it's still...
He still threw a horrendous interception.
It's still ultimately a loss, but I think people would have looked at that and said if the player who he's throwing the ball to on the game's pivotal play does his job, he's right in the end zone. And so... I'm by way of, and I know how you feel about Jackson, by way of explaining how it's going to go down this year, that's how it's going
to
go down.
They are on FanDuel right now the favorites to win the Super Bowl at plus 650. The odds makers give them a better shot than Buffalo, Philly, and Kansas City.
See, I disagree with
that. Absolutely is propaganda.
I disagree with them being better than Philly for sure, and I disagree with them when push comes to shove being better than the other two AFC teams.
Because when they play those two teams in games that matter, they lose.
I think the most damning loss of the post, so the when there's Lamar pre-MVP where they go play the Chargers in the playoffs his first year and he looks completely lost. And then there's everything since. I actually think the most damning loss for them is getting beat by the Chiefs at home in the AFC title game.
More than the Tennessee loss?
Yes, because...
I disagree with that, but I'll listen to your point.
That was supposed to be like the fully formed Ravens battle station. You are getting Mahomes, who's never had to leave Arrowhead in the playoffs, on your turf.
That's true.
You are getting Mahomes at a reduced offensive capacity because their biggest weapon like was Kelce, who wasn't quite the same guy. There's no Tyreek Hill. He's thrown to Justin Watson. We love you, Justin. South Fayette, stand up and everything else. I'm from Montour, but whatever. You know what I mean. It was not like the Death Star Chiefs. You had them at home, and you couldn't still do more than score 10 points. Is there a mitigating circumstance of a horrible fumble by Zay Flowers in that game? Sure. But you're Baltimore. Aren't you supposed to put 30 on everybody no matter what?
That's why I think Tennessee's even worse. Lamar was the best player in the NFL that year, and they were the best team. And the last team that made the playoffs went in there, and Baltimore got killed in that game.
This is going to sound like one of those Malzi takes that you don't believe because you'll say you're just fabricating this after the fact. I swear I'm not. I didn't think Baltimore was all that year. I thought he had a great year. I didn't believe in it yet. The Chiefs year, when they lost to them, I actually thought they could maybe get it done because I had seen them go in there and play them in the regular season and look like a team that could handle itself.
Donnie, are you buying that this is finally the year for the Ravens? The odds makers have them with the best odds to win the Super Bowl right now on July 29th.
I am not. I unfortunately think for them that they will be hitting their heads off the brick wall, not in the same way that the Steelers do, because they always get a little bit further, but kind of the same way when it comes to making it to the big game.
Their biggest offseason moves, talking about the Ravens, were DeAndre Hopkins last seen looking in the Super Bowl like he was ready to file his retirement papers, and Jaire Alexander, who I do think is a very talented corner, but is the Bo Bennett of NFL corners.
Jeez.
He's always hurt, man. Never plays.
In Alexander's defense, he was at least a pretty good player at one time.
Right, but now he's Mr. Glass. The dude is the most fragile. Like, wrap him in that tape. That's how oft injured he is. So
I think it's pretty fair, and I don't think it's like anti-Jackson sentiment anymore to say, like, he's an incredibly gifted player. I think he deserves all the flowers he gets for his regular season performances. The burden of proof is pretty squarely on him to deliver the goods in the playoffs. I don't think that's being unfair. His record in the playoffs is 3-5. His passer rating, even though it is trending in the right direction lately, for sure, like no argument for me on this one, is still 84.6 in 8 games.
That's terrible.
He's got 3 of the last 4 over 110. That's real good. But the single biggest one, a home AFC title game, is when he reverted back inexplicably to...
What'd you say his career passer rating is in the playoffs?
84.6.
What do you think Kenny Pickett's career passer rating is?
82.
It's actually worse than that.
80.
It's 79.3. What do you think Mason Rudolph's is?
Career passer rating? Probably like 81.
Is 84.7.
You've finally been validated. Congratulations on all your success. We finally got it. He finally got him, folks. I just think the burden of proof should be on them. Like, I don't... It's so weird
for me.
It's
nice to have you come along.
Weird for me. Well, no, because I do think you're on an extreme side where I still think you look for any chance you get to denigrate Jackson's accomplishments overall and not just the playoffs. I'm pretty specific here. The guy is a phenomenal player to watch. He needs to show that he can be that phenomenal in the playoffs. But I think you even feel like he is just, broadly speaking, nowhere near as good as people
give him credit for. He's the only multi-time MVP who's never appeared in a championship game in the history of football. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Greg Brown joins us right now. He's up in San Francisco. Hello, Greg.
Hey, guys.
Uh-oh.
How's it going?
We might have a... Hold on, Greg. Let's put you on hold and see if we can...
We might have to do a redial here. We're crackling. We're in a snap... We're in the Rice Krispie thing here. Snap, crackle, and pop signal.
It's windy there, so maybe he's outside.
Have you ever been?
Yes, I have.
Is it true that they say... Is it... Well, that's more the Bay Area broadly.
Well, what...
You got a whole bay across from you. You know, Oakland versus San Fran.
So if you went to a Mets game... Or a Jets or Giants game, you couldn't claim that you went to New York City?
Well, if you went to a Jets or Giants game and you never went into the city,
you're
in New Jersey.
Okay, how about a Mets game?
You're in a different borough. You're not across a large body of water from the other place.
There's a bridge that separates San Francisco from Oakland. It's basically the same thing. It's the same place. If you go to a game in Oakland, you might stay in San Francisco.
So why didn't they merge the Athletics and Giants and just make them one team? It's so similar.
What are you talking... Oh. Why didn't they just have the A's play at the... why not just have them play at the Giants Park?
Why don't they share a park? Probably because the people in San Francisco didn't want that.
All right, Greg Brown is back. Hello, Greg.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that.
All good. I don't think it was your fault.
Yep.
You have come on with us for probably a month and said, I anticipate the Pirates are going to do something big. We're now 2 days away from the trade deadline. Does Greg Brown still feel that way?
Yeah, I still think, and I thought I quantified it by saying that I believe Ben wants to do something big, and he's trying to do something big, and I think he still will do something big. So, yeah, I haven't changed my opinion because I don't think Ben Cherington has changed his opinion. Now, you know, these trade deadlines every year, I've thought about this, everybody speculates, all kinds of stuff goes on for right up until deadline day. And nobody, including Ben Cherington himself, if you had him on the air right now and you said, are you going to do something big? He couldn't guarantee you that he's going to. Nobody knows that because everything has to work. He's got to agree to whatever the other general manager agrees to or what they offer. And so not even the general managers themselves can say for certain that they're going to pull off trade A, B, or C. But I still think that they're working hard to get something, at least one or two big deals done. So, yeah, but my stance has not changed.
Greg, David Bednar acted like a guy who felt like he had pitched his last game after his most recent outing. He got 100 saves with the Pirates. I think only four or five other pitchers have accomplished that with the team. Do you think that Bednar is correct to assume that he's pitched his last game? Or very soon pitched his last home game, for the Pirates.
Well, I don't know whether he's correct in assuming he has. I think it's correct to assume that it's possible. But going back to the idea that nobody knows, unless everything is aligned, and unless you know if they are offering something for him, whatever other team offers this in return, then it will happen. It's very possible that after the deadline Thursday, he is still a Pirate. To your point, long after the grounds crew had completed its work, I was doing some notes and getting ready for the next day's game. And most of the stadium lights had gone off, and just a few of the banks remained, a few lights on those banks remained. And I looked down and I saw a guy come out of the dugout all by himself, and he took out his phone and he did a kind of a panorama of the skyline with his phone. And he walked slowly up the warning track past the first base dugout, taking it all in, kept looking out at the skyline, glancing. He got up to the right field corner where the garage is, and he turned and to head out, and he turned back toward the field and took one last long glance. And it was David. And it really hit me then how meaningful that save was. And I assume, maybe he was taking it all in because that was 100 saves, but I assume that he was taking that all in because he thought it could be his last game. He's always talked about how he leaves the ballpark every night as he's been a Pirate and thought about and not taking for granted his time in a Pirates uniform and how meaningful it's been to be a Pirate. So I sure hope it doesn't happen. I'll tell you that. I would hate to see him leave Pittsburgh, and he's been so good and such a good trooper, but you know, that old cliche, it is a business, and if it happens, it happens. But I guess we'll cross that bridge if it does.
Greg, what is one thing you feel fairly confident in saying the Pirates won't do in the next 2 days that some fans, or maybe there's been some media speculation, that they might actually do at the trade deadline?
I'm sorry, Andrew, what I'm confident that they might do?
No, that they won't do. A deal that's been, that and media might think,
I know there was speculation, there was talk about 2 months ago about trading schemes. I'm not going to trade schemes, right. And I said that then.
Yep.
I'll say it again. So I'm quite confident that's not going to happen.
Yep.
From there, I don't know that I'm confident about anything else, but I'm pretty confident I'm very confident that's not going to happen.
So you can't. So you wouldn't even say that about Cruz then, huh, Greg?
I'm confident they're not going to trade him. I would say that other than schemes, though, there's not a deal in my estimation. There's not any possible deal that anybody could come up with where they would. That I could see that they would trade schemes. Now, I think that almost any other player on the roster, they could blow Charrington away with, I think.
Gotcha.
If, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think if they came to Charrington with all these players for any player, Cruz, whoever it might be, then I think Charrington would listen, but not Skeens.
Brownie, do you think it is more likely that the Pirates would deal Mitch, would I guess be inclined to deal Mitch Keller now or in the offseason? Because I keep reading about people thinking that if they want a big league ready bat in return, that their better play would be to actually wait until the season is over when those baseball trades can actually happen. How do you view the possibilities with what is probably the best starting pitcher who's going to be dangled on the market?
You know, we all hear scuttlebutt around from other teams. So the reason, in terms of Keller, you know, I think it's just as feasible. It's as feasible that he would be traded if he were to be traded in the next 2 days than it would be in the off season. I don't separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that, and maybe that's the case, but I just don't believe it. I think teams can get desperate. I think the fan base makes teams get desperate. We know for a fact that's happened with the Pirates, where there's pressure on these general managers and these teams that feel that they have to win or else they're done, they're out, they're failures, and they need a starter. Starter goes down, an injury, and that if Keller or anybody is the perfect guy to fill that void, then I think they can overpay now. Just going back to Andrew's point, the reason I said that, I don't want to be misconstrued.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard other teams suggest from other sources that they have or are going to make a play for other players other than Skeens. Skeens' name I've not heard at all, but I've heard other teams say, "Yeah, we would trade for this guy."
Yeah,
and I'm not saying the Pirates would do it, but other Pirate names have come up. They know Skeens is not a possibility, and I think they believe, these teams think that, well, we know Skeens is not a possibility, but maybe this guy could be had for the right price.
Greg, everybody who knows anything about the Pirates this season would say they need to get some bats here in the next couple of days, guys that can bring offense to this offensively, desperate team. But if you could hone in on that more, like, where specifically do you think Ben Charrington would want to make his lineup, his overall team, better in the next 2 days?
I mean, it starts with the bats. Left field. I mean, you need a left fielder.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious. They need a left fielder. Shortstop. Who is going to play shortstop? And then we're talking now about 2026, of course. But in order to build for 2026, because 2025, for all intents and purposes, is all about building a winner in 2026, you need those players. That's the other reason I don't personally care for doing something in the off season. If it happens, it happens. Okay, I get it. It still might. But I like the idea of starting this Friday in Denver. I would like to see the team, for the most part, that we know is going to go into 2026 that's going to win.
Does that include Bubba Chandler pitching in their rotation?
Well, without being too forward, I don't see how, and I don't know if it's Bubba Chandler, but no disrespect to Andrew Heaney, but it would not make one bit of sense to me if Andrew Heaney, again, I'm not disrespecting him. I think he's such a pro. I told him that the other day, but what a pro he's been. It wouldn't make any sense for me for Heaney to make another start. That would make no sense.
Yeah. Because he doesn't have a long-term outlook with the team at all.
That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense because it's about building for 2026. And so if Heaney makes another start, that means he's making a start in place of a fill-in-blank. And that's not building for 2026.
No. All right, Greg. Well, hey, we'll be obviously keeping track of it and watching it play out over the next 2 days. And the Pirates play tonight.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Yeah, it's too bad we're off. Well, in a way, it's good that we're off on Thursday because we'll be able to monitor it all. But I think it's going to be busy. I think it's going to be a busy, fun time for us baseball fans.
If you had to add up the total trades, including minor league trades, do you think the Pirates will make more or less than 5 trades total?
Wow. 5's a lot. 5
Damn
is
it.
A lot. I don't know. If I go more than 5,
somebody
no,
might have already wagered on this.
Five.
Oh, thanks, Greg. Appreciate you. There.
That's a lot. Are you including Frazier?
No. From this point onward till 6 o'clock on Thursday.
I'm including your rinky dink like Billy Cook, Nick York trades that got made
Jack
last
Sawinski
year.
For a player to be named later,
yeah,
and then he goes
like
to
that.
The Rays and hits 35 home runs.
Stuff like that, Greg.
I still think 5's a lot.
Okay.
That's what we wanted to hear, Greg. Well, by we, I mean me and Donnie.
See you, Greg. Thank you.
See you, guys. See ya.
There you go. Great thing we got going here, helping out Pittsburgh Public Schools. A stuff backpack drive, Pittsburgh for PPS, is presented by Target Freight Management. You can support by purchasing backpacks, dropping them off at a location near you, including the Piata Street Food in Robinson, Northway Mall. For details, go to 937thefan.com to drop off your donation. Brought to you by GBU Life, Life Insurance, Annuities, and Member Benefits since 1892. So Greg Brown does expect some big deals. I heard from him, a guy who does think that David Bednar and Mitch Keller are going to get traded. That's my read on it. Just hearing him talk, like already giving you the team perception of we make these big deals, we feel like we have what is close to our major league lineup for 2026 on the field for the final 2 months of the season. Couple rumors here that are out there that we'll update in a second, but here's a question. What's the best trade deadline deal in Pirates history? Now, in 79, they traded for the Mad Dog, but Bill Madlock, but that was in June. That was a month before the trade deadline. That's an in-season trade. That's not a deadline deal.
Do we count Marlon Byrd as eligible because he was a post?
It's not a deadline deal.
Yeah, well, there's
Sean Dunstan's not a deadline deal either.
Those were, and neither was Derek Liu at 2 home runs in 2011. Those were all post-waiver deadline, and then he didn't want to play baseball anymore. Ricardo Rincon for Giles was an off-season deal.
How about Zane Smith? How about Moise Alou for Zane Smith? I think that's got to be the one. Were they making trades in season in 1960 when they won the World Series? Forgive me,
no,
but I don't know.
I think Jay Happ for with Adrian Sampson's a damn good one.
But I don't think that was it. Was that
July 31st, 2015? That was absolutely a deadline.
Yeah,
deal.
That was. That was like the last trade of that day.
Happ came in here and had like a 170 ERA.
Okay,
that's my submission. Because Jay Happ, they would have won the World Series had Jay Happ merely started the wild card game.
Look up Zane Smith's 1990 ERA with the Pirates and then what he did in subsequent years with the Pirates as well. Because
yes,
you're
going
to look at that and you're going to see that this Jay Happ submission is not even close to Zane Smith.
I mean, he was a 130 ERA for the Pirates in 76 innings. And then he had an ERA over the next 4 years that was cumulatively 337, very good. J-Hap, just to do the fair is fair comparison here. J-Hap with the Pirates in his, 63 innings of work, a 185 ERA.
Okay. So Smith got them to a division title, and then he helped get them to more division titles the
following
years.
Yeah, it's better than Hap because they should have signed Hap back. He went 20-4 the next year with a 3
Now, they actually
ERA.
Gave up a really good player in that Smith deal. They gave up nothing for Hap.
I seem to recall people saying Adrian Sampson's going to be a good pitcher. Don't think Adrian Sampson ever amounted to
much. So they really didn't win that trade, though, with Montreal.
Because Alou is so good.
Yeah.
I would say the Hap
trade. That's
just
a great trade for both sides.
Yeah, it's a classic baseball trade. Hap was worth 2.5 wins in just 63 innings.
But they didn't win anything with Hap.
I understand
that. That's the big problem with that one. They don't have a trade
It's very interesting that by war, the Hap trade is better because I think pitching was so much stronger across the league that it was a little less valuable.
In the 90s, yeah.
In the 90s.
Early 90s,
like
very
Hap,
early 90s.
Hap was worth half a win more in 13 fewer innings. Not that's a statistical curiosity for me. But yeah, Smith was awesome. I still think they just went and chickened out when they could have thrown Hap against Jake Arrieta and I would have given him a better chance to win that game. I remember vividly saying that at the time. Like it was I was pounding the table for
McCall that. McCall was the guy then and won 19 games that year.
And Hap was better down the stretch.
Yes, he was.
He just was. That's factual.
He was.
And
but
he
Cole
just,
was their number one pick who had been the man the whole year.
And you know what? And then Volquez was Clint Hurdle's guy the year before when Cole actually should have pitched in the game.
Well,
they only got that
that's
pitching
not
assignment.
True.
Well, they set it up. They set it all up a certain. They couldn't set it up the
Hurdle
way that they
screwed
allegedly
up, and he
wanted
tried
to
win the division on Sunday instead of playing for the wild card game.
And then I'm trying to think back. Oh, yes, here's why I really wanted Hap because even though he only went into the sixth inning, he lost that pitcher's duel to Arrieta on September 15th, 2-1, where he went 5 2/3 and gave up the two runs, but he struck out eight. And
you know
he
what?
Looked really
We're
good.
We're probably
in that game.
Looking at this the wrong way. I bet there's a deadline where they were a seller, where they made a better trade than. As a buyer, we're trying to find the best trade they made, thinking, like, what did they do to put themselves over the hump?
Mm-hmm.
How about the trade that they made when they sucked and they got, like, a legit dude back? There's got to be one of those, right?
Did they deal Watson for Cruz at the deadline?
They did. That was, like, in the days leading up to it, so it counts. But what's... But
Cruz hasn't materialized into a good enough player.
It's a great trade, don't get me wrong. But I wouldn't put it in the best deadline deal in team history category.
Do we count? No, that was post deadline. Man, the Bay trade was interesting.
The one that they made with LA and Boston
with,
or when he got here
when
from
he
San
got
Diego.
Here, but that happened after. That was a non-waiver or that was a waiver deadline deal, I would think.
Really? What's
August
the date on?
August 26, 2003, man.
Yeah, what was the trade again?
He traded by the Padres with a player to be named later and Ollie Perez to the Pirates for Giles.
Ollie Perez. Donnie's putting his finger in the air.
The player to be named later was Corey Stewart.
Never heard of him.
Who did not make it out of AAA. But, like, that, again, doesn't count by your standards.
No.
Man, I'm trying for the life of me to think of a situation where they traded away the established player.
Northside Notch, Jim Rosati brings up a good one on Twitter.
Okay.
How about Austin Hedges for international bonus pool money?
I like that one. I like that one.
Oh, man.
I mean, they haven't won anything with this guy, and he's the most frustrating player on the team, but what about Watson for Cruz?
You just said that.
I threw that one out. You might have been digging around for other ones. But that one counts. If Cruz was better, Donnie, I think that one's not quite a no-brainer, but it's close to it.
The latest team who is allegedly sniffing around on Mitch Keller is the Boston Red Sox. Now, I had somebody I talked to on Friday who said that the Red Sox really didn't like Keller. So, who knows? Maybe people are just messing with me and...
Well, they got to know they can't pull a fast one on you.
But the argument I heard on that end was they look at Keller's peripherals and just think he's pitched worse than his numbers suggest this year.
Well, his FIP.
And they don't want to.
His FIP is better than his ERA. He's
right.
Actually been a little unlucky.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been a little unlucky. His FIP is just about near 3.
What's batting average balls in play?
His BABIP.
Yes.
I'm getting it for you right now. His FIP, just so you know, his ERA is 369. His FIP's 344. So I was a little high on that estimate. His advanced pitching numbers, batting average again on balls in play is 286.
Okay.
It's been over 300 his whole career. He's actually, like, unusually unlucky, I think, because
What do you mean? He's been super lucky this year compared to his career
Broadly speaking, do you know what, like, league average batting average on balls in play is off the top of your head?
I do not, but you can probably look that up.
I don't know off the top of my head what it is. I don't think it's 324 when
Red Sox have a lot of interesting players. They've got a lot of younger guys. Some of them have really underachieved this year. Christian Campbell, who's a big prospect, who's 23 years old and the second baseman. God, the Pirates, you know, like they need more second basemen who can't hit. He got sent down to the minor leagues, was atrocious there. You know, would they trade him for Mitch Keller? They probably would if they think Mitch Keller's better than the person who told me they didn't like Mitch Keller. But if they want to get like a number three or four starter for a guy that's in their minor leagues, if they might do that. And then it would be up to the Pirates to get Christian Campbell back on track. Charrington talked about those guys.
I just don't trust the Pirates to get anybody right, and he back talked, on track.
He talked about that on Sunday with reporters where it's like, we have to assume risk. We need to bring guys like that in, and we need to make them better.
Buddy, you took Henry Davis 1-1, and he's hitting 176.
Marcelo Mayer, who was in that Henry Davis draft, is another one. 22 years old. He's played 44 games for the Red Sox, third base primarily. Four homers, 10 ribbies, 228. So he's off to a slow start to his major league career.
I got an answer for myself. This year, MLB league average, batting average on balls in play, 291. So Keller's actually getting a slight break in that regard. Otherwise in his career, he's largely been unlucky. But like Bailey Falter, who we both compared him to, a lefty, Falter way worse on his peripherals than Keller. Way worse, which is surprising to me.
That music means it's time for a Donnie Football Debrief, his biggest football topic of the day, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. Next door to us is 100.1 FM, 1020 KDK AM. And they have an overnight producer who used to catch touchdown passes from Aaron Rodgers named Jermichael Finley. And he texted me during the break and mentioned that in July of 1986, the Pirates got Bobby Bonilla back from the White Sox for Jose De Leon. That would be a deadline deal.
Was the Van Slyke deal in the deadline?
No, that was
time?
The first day of the season, April 1st.
Was it really?
Yeah. Mike Dunn, Spanky LaValliere, and Andy Van Slyke for Tony Pena. But you want to talk about...
He's just got it checking.
No, that's not me. Like, check out the big brain on Jermike.
Doesn't have a lot of other things clouding his brain right now.
He's pulling a trade from 39 years ago, and I think he might be right.
Do you want me to look it up?
No, it's right. I'm looking at Bobby Bonilla's baseball reference page, July 23rd, 1986. After the White Sox had taken Bonilla off the Pirates in the Rule 5 draft, they got him back. Now, you can criticize them, I guess, for losing him in the Rule 5 draft in the first place. I don't know.
Bobby Bo just collecting checks until 2035. Huh. A true hero of the business side hustle.
Is he a first ballot business Hall of Famer, sports business Hall
of
Famer?
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, he's up there with Kirk Cousins.
And Chase Daniel. But you know what? Cousins has made the most money. But honestly, I like Bonilla's hustle better. He and his agent agreed to have two separate teams defer money to him. The Orioles, I think, owe his ass money, too.
Damn.
Well, wasn't the Mets thing, didn't that have a lot to do with Bernie Madoff?
I have not.
Wasn't there some sort of
No, I'm pretty sure.
I got to be honest with you.
They approached him, and I think the agent agreed, and he agreed to the deferment with, like, interest, obviously. It might have been Madoff connected. It's just either way, having the foresight and Bonilla being good enough on his own with his money to be like, yeah, I'll take that bad boy paid off.
I don't know why, but I've not really gone out of my way to find.
Because you're a Mets fan and all that stuff there. Connected to Madoff hurts your soul at a deep, profound
no,
level.
No, it's just like Bonilla sucking and like me loving that team in the early to mid 90s and them being complete ass with like overpaid guys.
One of the first Pirates games, in fact, the first one I remember actually attending at Three River Stadium, Lloyd McLennan hit a grand slam and the Pirates beat the Mets 19-2. Which was fun to watch.
Donnie, do you remember your first Pirates game as a kid?
I actually don't. Like, I don't remember who they played. I don't know, maybe the Cardinals, because back then they were playing the NL Central like 25 times a year.
Yeah.
I just know I sat out in right field, and it was like a trip with, like, I don't know, whatever, like, Little League baseball team I was playing for. I was only, like, probably 5 or 6 years old.
I'll give, by the way, either one of you $5 right now if you can tell me where Lloyd McClendon went to school, college.
Furman.
No. I'll give you $5, Donnie, if you name. He got drafted in the 8th round out of a university.
Hofstra.
Valparaiso.
Wow.
Big Valpo guy.
How about our Little League trip was to a Yankees game? And I despise the Yankees, so I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to that. Screw that. You guys can all go. I'm going to act a protest, not go. I was the only kid in the entire Little League that didn't go.
That is just incredibly on.
Please tell me something very notable happened.
That was the day David Wells pitched a perfect game.
No, it was not.
I swear to God.
No, it was not.
I swear to God. I swear to God.
He would have been 12 years old that summer,
yeah.
1998.
I swear to God, that's the day.
Perfect age for Little League.
That's the day I missed. Everybody from my Little League saw David Wells pitch
a
perfect
game. Did you absolutely have a little part of yourself that like hates your 12-year-old self for doing that?
That was my next question, though.
With how big of a sports fan you are.
Do you hate the Yankees more than the historian part of you? Like, where you're like, I would have been mad to see the Yankees get a perfect game.
Yeah, I would not have enjoyed it in the moment. But I've never seen a no-hitter in person.
That's what I'm saying, like a perfect game.
I know. I've never even seen a no-hitter. I went to the Homer Bailey no-hitter, but
early.
I left like the second I got there. I was dating somebody who was not my wife at the time. It was a free T-shirt Friday. She wanted a drink on the North Shore. So I said, can we at least get the shirts? And she said, yes. So we got the shirts and walked right back out, and he pitched a no-hitter. And I think I broke up with her 2 days later.
I had a high school game that night. I remember asking my dad after, like, oh, did you check on the Pirates? He just said, yeah, they got no hit.
Oh, very good. Matter of fact.
So we probably got mercy rolled in the game, and the Pirates got no hit. That was a good Friday.
Donnie's biggest football story of the day is the debrief.
The debrief, July 29. 2025. A few things here we can touch on. First, let's check in on the poll that I put out there yesterday, Pony.
Yep.
When we were on. Got almost 1,000 votes. 79% of them saying that Big Ben, definitively a better quarterback than Brett Favre.
I expected Steelers fans to say that, even though I preface all of this by saying I think Ben Roethlisberger is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And I loved watching him play here, and I really, really loved doing a radio show with him. But outside of Pittsburgh, there's no other football fan who would evaluate the two careers and say that Ben was better. No one else, no objective fan would say that. It's
people
that
also,
black and white.
Yeah, people also feel like, oh, if I vote somebody against Big Ben, it's a knock on Ben. Like, no, it's not. I mean, you can still say, like we were saying yesterday, I think Ben is probably in like the top 12 to 15 of all time. I think Brett Favre is probably like top 8 or top 8 to 10.
Just to put a fine point on this.
No, we knew you would want to do that, so by all means.
Ballsy's digging in here. He's about to bring in Warren Moon. And
no, just to put a finer point on this, and you guys were in the right to say Brett Favre's better and to roll your eyes at this. Ben, whether you think it's fair or not, not one single MVP vote received in his whole career. Brett Favre pulled a Tom Emanski, back-to-back-to-back NFL MVPs, throwing in those three seasons 38, 39, and 35 touchdowns. What is Ben's career high for one season in tutties? 32?
34, I thought.
Maybe 34. Guess what? Brett Favre wasn't playing in a pass-happy era, and he threw that many.
That's what I mean. I agree with what you just said there. I think, I agree. Like the mid-90s or early 90s, throwing for 35 touchdowns in a season is like the equivalent 10 years ago of throwing 45. You know, and he did that on those teams in Green Bay.
And in 95, he threw for 4,400 yards to lead the league.
I don't know. I hate to, argue with, a nameless gray face contingent of people, but I guess I'm doing that now.
Yeah, go for
it. It's funny because, Drew Brees gets dinged for playing in a dome, but Favre doesn't get any credit for doing it at Lambeau with these people that want to put Ben ahead of both of those guys. Those are the two, by the way. Among the reaction we got on social media and on the air, people agreed with Art Rooney and said Ben was a top 10 quarterback, and the two guys they wanted to kick out of the top 10 for Ben the most were Favre and Brees.
Favre also just...
And then Bradshaw. Bradshaw was probably third. They wanted to kick out their own guy for Ben.
We need Ben Tenuta. We need our guy Ben Tenuta on the video side to put up a video of Terry in the Super Bowl, like a highlight package, and just go, kids today forget Terry Bradshaw was tough.
What's the other thing you had done?
Also, one other thing about Favre, Donnie, this will take me 10 seconds. His penultimate season with the Vikings, which did end with him throwing a back-breaking NFC title game pick, was a statistical better season than pretty much anything Ben ever did.
You know, 33-7.
Quarterback rating of almost 107.2. Quarter QBR of 74. I'm sorry. You might not like the guy, and he is a bad guy, Brett Favre.
There goes Moral Mulsey.
Oh, he is in the bad guy category.
Oh, yeah, Moral Mulsey is joined
gone off on old Brett Favre a couple times.
He's Moral Mulsey joined on this accord by dignified Don
over here. You ask the whole state of Mississippi if Brett Favre's a bad guy.
Anyway, the rest.
The other thing, since I won't be with you guys for
the next
2 days.
Sharkies and then what, live casino? You are just going to kill out there.
So Thursday night, we have the first NFL game of the season. I will have Joel on the board with me.
Yep.
Oh, he'll be betting his ass off.
How much of a degenerate move is it to bet on the Hall of Fame game?
Okay, this is embarrassing.
Pony will do it.
I'll admit something about me that's embarrassing. I don't even know who's playing.
Lions, Chargers.
I've given it so little thought.
Well, remember a couple of weeks ago when I told Malzy, hey, we got football this month.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Could not have sounded more upset.
There's probably a good Ken Burns documentary on PBS I can watch instead.
Oh, okay. Mr. Guy who has probably watched Ken Burns documentaries in the last 2 days, that's why he's saying it.
We got Chargers and Lions. Trey Lance is going
to
start.
He will bet. If you ask him to, he will literally bet Trey Lance's touchdown over-under for that game.
They don't post that for, I know, because I've checked. What do you think the line is in that game?
I don't know, 2.5?
Lions -1.5. You know who's going to be their quarterback? Former Steeler. Kyle Allen.
No Hendon Hooker?
No. I don't think so. I think it's going to be Kyle Allen against Trey Lance.
Yep. Now, do you still go by your old strategy of just looking at the QB rooms?
And who's going to play? Yep. There's money to be made there.
How did you?
So will you bet
on
that game?
I will. I probably will.
I mean, we're
I'm going to watch.
I think I'm going to be too much in the mood. I'm going to have Joel. I'm going to be at a casino. I'm going to say, you know what? Here we go.
Good.
Yeah.
Live a little bit.
Pony, will you watch all 60 minutes of that game?
I will. Yeah.
Donnie, will you go back and make sure you watch the game since you won't technically be able to watch it while you do the show, like, fully, you know, full attention?
I won't make an effort to go back and watch the full thing.
I watch more preseason football than I care to admit.
Well, I remember.
Is it because you want to feel like doing so if you see the starters or even the backups gives you a better depth of knowledge on these teams?
I know it doesn't mean anything. I've learned my lesson, but I still am entertained by it in a weird way.
I would have thought, okay, the entertainment's like separate from saying it doesn't mean anything. I hope that the Kenny Pickett preseason cured you of
that's what it means, but for good.
Though. I can also remember 2 years ago, right after Stella was born, Sarah and I went over to your house on like a Friday night or something, like got dinner. Sarah and Amanda are in the kitchen, like just chopping it up. What are we doing on Pony's couch? We go from one preseason game to another.
Oh, yes.
To another. Just absolutely sicko behavior.
We were whipping
it around. Watching like the local San Francisco 49ers broadcast.
Just disgusting behavior by both of you. God, do I hate that.
All right. Come